The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Now, we're delighted to be joined by the former US Ambassador to Ireland, Claire Cronin. Ambassador, thanks so much for joining us. Before we get down to business, it seems like we might be related. We're distant cousins, it would seem. We both have great grandparents from called Coleman from Galway.
Yes, I have on my mother, both of my mother's grandmothers were named Coleman, one from Galway and one from Cork. So we have a heavy Coleman influence on my mom's side of the family.
So you don't mind if during this interview I call you cousin instead of ambassador?
You can call me cousin. Will you buy me a Christmas present as well?
I'm going to call you ambassador. Talk to us about your time in Ireland. I know you're back living in Boston now, but I get a sense you really enjoyed your time as ambassador to Ireland.
I absolutely did. It was, it was probably 3 years that I will never forget, my family will never forget. It was just an amazing time, and the country has always meant a lot to me because of my strong Irish ancestry, but to be able to serve there was just really remarkable. And the friendships we made, which will be lifelong. As I said, I've been back to Ireland 7 times since I left, and I've only
already
been home. Yeah, I just got in Saturday night. Perhaps that's why I'm losing my voice a little from all that jet lag.
Yeah. What did you see? I mean, it's quite a responsibility to be ambassador for the United States, especially to Ireland, a country that has such strong links. What were the big issues as far as you were concerned while you were ambassador?
Sure. Quite a few, as a matter of fact. First and foremost, I arrived in Dublin on February 10th, 2022. Putin invaded Ukraine on February 24th, so it was literally baptism by fire.
Sure.
When I arrived, there was no war in Europe, and shortly thereafter, Putin invaded Ukraine. So it was really getting thrown into the deep end right away, real diplomacy in the way we were able to work with the Irish government in support of the people of Ukraine. Certainly at that time also as well, Brexit had occurred. And we were dealing with the issues surrounding the fallout from Brexit. Pardon me. So it was very important for the United States and one of our key priorities to make sure that the gains made by the Good Friday Agreement weren't squandered as a result of Brexit. So that was very much in play.
A big challenge, I imagine, because there were real challenges to the Good Friday Agreement from Brexit.
There sure were. And for a good part of the time I was there, Stormont was not functioning, and we were dealing with both the Northern Ireland Protocol and then the Windsor Framework. So there was a lot going on, but America had a big stake in it as well, because we were co-guarantors of the Friday Agreement.
And I think is it fair to say it was quite fortunate for Ireland that President Biden was in the White House at that stage?
I would say it was very fortunate for Ireland, because that was,
he was quite an ally.
Yes, big time.
Okay. So was it difficult to leave after your 3-year stint?
It was, but it was difficult to leave, mostly because, as I say, I love the country, the friendships we made. But as they said in The Wizard of Oz, Dorothy said, there's no place like home.
Yeah, of course.
And it's also good to be back home.
Yeah, okay, all right. Your career, you were a majority House leader in the Massachusetts House, is that right?
Yes.
Were you the first woman to hold that position? I'm curious, or was that quite unusual at that stage?
It was, yes, I was the first woman to ever hold that position. And the same held true when prior to that I served as the chair of the Judiciary Committee. I was also the first woman. And when you look back historically, there have been well over 20,000 men that have served in the legislature. I was elected in 2012, and I was number 182. So you can see we've come a long way since then. So it was nice to break a couple of those glass ceilings.
How did you get to know President Biden? Was that a relationship, a political relationship you always had, or how did that relationship develop?
No, I actually met President Biden for the first time in November of 2000. The first time I spoke with him was November of 2018. And I knew he was considering running for president. And I believed that he would be America's best choice for president. And I wanted to support him. And through just purely luck, my husband happened to be flying on a plane, and Joe Biden sat in front of him. And I said to my husband, pass him a note, tell him what my role is in Massachusetts, and say, you know, my wife, Claire Cronin, is the chair of judiciary. She wants you to run for president. She'll do anything she can to help.
Wow.
And so my husband passed the note, and President Biden took the note. And he said, I'm going to give your wife a call. And we spoke that night, and I said, you know, if I say I'm with you 100%, it's 120%. And as soon as he announced, I got very involved in the campaign. And he had also known some of my work in Massachusetts around criminal justice reform. And over the campaign, I got to know him, you know, better. I was in Iowa, I was in New Hampshire, and never expecting or seeking anything from the administration. I mean, I just wanted President Biden to be elected, and I was very happy in my job in the legislature in Massachusetts. Then I had become majority leader, and which was a very big deal, and I loved the Massachusetts House. But, you know, one day after we won the election, the campaign reached out to me and said, would I consider submitting a CV to be considered as a member of the Biden administration? And honestly, I was thinking, geez, I'm 62 years old. You know, at this point in my life, I don't think I want to go to Washington.
Yeah.
And be in the Justice Department. You know, my career was in law. And so someone suggested to me, they said, you know, you might be able to be an ambassador. And I said, really? Because I, you know, never was I even thinking that. And so I submitted a letter of interest, and I wrote Department of State, which is basically code for ambassador, but I didn't pick a country. And I got a call from the White House, and it was one of the White House counsel, and he said, if you were to be ambassador, where would you want to go? And I said, well, my maiden name is McLaughlin. My married name is Cronin. I'm from Boston. I think Ireland.
Am I leaving enough clues at this stage?
I said, I think Ireland. And immediately I could hear the gentleman pause and said, whoa, you know, everybody wants Ireland. And I said, well, the truth be told is it really is what works for the president. And then a couple of months later, I got the phone call, and President Biden said, would you agree to be vetted for the position? And you don't say no when the president calls. Plus, I had never had a chance to serve my country.
Yeah.
I had served my community, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, but the idea to actually be able to serve my country was important as well. And what better place than in Ireland?
So was this your dream job without maybe you even being aware that it was your dream job in advance?
I had never, ever considered it.
Yeah.
But I will say it was a dream job.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful thing. And every day, you know, I was very grateful that President Biden gave me the opportunity. I was grateful for the friendships we made. And, you know, I would always think, what would my granddad think? He left Donegal in 1912. And to think that one generation later, I would come back as U.S. ambassador is pretty remarkable, actually, when you think about it.
A couple of last things. Were you always very conscious of your Irishness when you were growing up in Boston? Was it a big factor?
It was a very big part of my upbringing. I mean, we, as I said, you know, we knew about Michael Collins and Eamon de Valera the same way we knew about John F. Kennedy. It was a very big part of, my father loved Irish history. I was prone to reading history, and yeah, it was a big part of growing up. We know all the songs. We know the words.
Great. We might get you to sing a song later on.
Oh, you don't want me to do that.
And just finally, I mean, I don't know how much you want to go into it, so, you know, I'll leave it up to you. But politics in America today, I mean, when you look at the kind of politics practiced by President Biden, it was very much rapprochement. It was looking for solutions. It was bipartisan in many ways. I think it's fair to say we've kind of moved away from that in America, and not just in America, in other parts of the world. Do you have you concerns about that?
I do. I don't like to see America as divided as it is. Even though I was in Massachusetts, which was a very Democratic state, I always worked across party lines with my Republican colleagues, and some of my closest friends in the Mass legislature are actually members of the Republican Party, and we were able to work together. So it pains me to see such a disconnect right now in America, and I hope we can overcome the divisions that we have. But I'm optimistic, and I always have hope, and so I hope we will see a more aligned America over time.
I think we can all hope about that. Obviously, we're talking to you because of Ireland Gateway to Europe. Your thoughts on the organization and the work it does to further develop ties between Ireland and the US?
Sure. In organizations like this, are very important. We always speak of the Irish-US relationship as based on our ancestry, but there are two things that I pay close attention to. So our ancestry is the foundation, but our trade investment is the glue that keeps us together. So during my time in Ireland, we focused, you know, a great amount on increasing foreign direct investment in the United States. We also worked very heavily with young people when I first came to Ireland. I read a statistic somewhere, and it said that 1 out of 4 six-year-olds in Ireland have a parent from a different country, and that intrigued me because I was, you know, as we say, we always talk about the ancestry, but you realize over time it does become diluted, so we really need to focus on the next generation, that students make their own connection to the U.S.-Irish relationship. So we created a program called Open Doors. And every week I brought in 75 to 100 students to the Deerfield residence. I would give them a tour of the house, and we would have a town hall after that. And then I would pitch the J-1 visa. We had the paperwork right ready for them, and we were able to increase the numbers quite a bit. So very proud of that as well.
Okay. All right. Well, look, absolutely lovely to talk to you. Ambassador Claire Cronin,
Cousin Claire.
thank you for talking to the Hard Shoulder.
Thanks. Lovely chatting with you.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.